This episode of Talks About Tech Weekly is brought to you by ProXBN. Go to proxbn.com/podcast and use the coupon code TATWEE for 20% off. Hello and welcome to Talks About Tech Weekly. On this show, we like to talk to you about everything technology. Coming up on today's show, WWDC and E3 2013. Hello, you're very welcome back to another episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. This is episode 69 today, recorded on the 16th of June 2013. You're very welcome to the show. I'm your host, Michael McAndrew, and Kevin McAndrew is slamming his head against his laptop right now. I'm going to switch to his show. You okay there, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, you might want to bring that microphone right up in your face there. Yeah, this is, if you don't know, this is Kevin McAndrew. He likes laughing. What's up, man?
Start again.
No. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep rolling with this. Everything's done in one take on this show. Although, right, we're already on a third take. You might want to bring that microphone a little bit closer to you there. Yes, yeah. This is Kevin McAndrew, my brother. He likes laughing. How are you, Kevin?
I do. I'm good.
That's good. So, you know, this week was pretty crazy because on Monday, there was two events. Well, there was the Microsoft, there's three events. There was a Microsoft event, followed by WWDC, followed by the PlayStation 4 event at E3. Mm-hmm. So there was E3 on, as well as WWDC. So it was a pretty crazy week. And Monday morning, the first thing that happened to me on Monday morning was I got a hard drive corrupt. Basically, I started up my computer and the hard drive was corrupted. So I spent the entire day doing that, and then I was like, oh, I better tune into WWDC and all that. Now, in terms of the events, I didn't actually tune into the Xbox event or the PlayStation event. All I really watched was the WWDC.
Yeah.
But I still kind of kept up to date, because I decided, you know, with the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 event, I would get the news after the fact.
Yeah.
So, but it was a really crazy week for me because my computer, the hard drive got corrupted, then the power supply failed. I'm finally back to normality, basically. Mm-hmm. And
completely rewired.
Yeah,
the studio.
I completely rewired the studio today.
And me.
Well, yeah, you helped. You helped. Yeah. I've also set up a media server in the corner over there. If we go to Kevin's shot there, there's actually a okay, what the hell is happening? Okay, there you are, Kevin. Kevin has a monitor behind him and the computer down there. Yeah, it's not set up yet, but I have a media server with many hard drives in it and stuff like that. So Kevin has also got a monitor in front of him so he can see what
right
shot
here
is on, so he can pick his nose when... Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of... what came out of this corrupted hard drive thing? he's picking his nose when the shot is. What came out of this corrupted hard drive thing was improvements to the studio, because I'm using a faster computer now to do the main production stuff. Mm-hmm. We've got two monitors in here, and I'm actually going to be using my MacBook Pro for doing video editing, and I kind of put 16 gigabytes of RAM in it.
That's
kind of, yeah. It's just to upgrade it to make sure that it'll run fine with, you know,
it
video
had
editing.
4 gigs. And then he's like, oh no, I want to put 8 gigs in it. And
yeah,
then it's like, hold on, we can put 16 gigs in it. Let's put the 16 gigs in it. So
yeah,
it's God.
Yeah.
Get
so
16 gigs of RAM, put it in.
Yep, it'll be a video editing beast, because it's an i7 MacBook Pro. And I'm going to be using that monitor, that Samsung monitor that's behind Kevin there. Really nice monitor. 25
this
inch.
This monitor.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. So, okay. I wanted to get through that fast because we have got a ton of stuff I want to talk about, and we've only got an hour to talk about it. I don't think we're going to be able to do it.
So,
hopefully
first
we'll. Okay, first, starting off very quickly, you know, I'm going to leave WWDC to last because like every single podcast I was listening to this week is like WWDC, WWDC.
Yeah.
Or WWDC.
or
if you're in the US,
WWDC.
Yes. So I want to start. I want to kind of do most talk about mostly talk about E3 this time around.
Yep.
And we're not going to do tech we've been using this week or anything because this is going to be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I want to start off with E3 stuff, Kevin.
Yeah.
I want to start off by talking about the Xbox One event. So that was the first event, but WWDC started about half an hour after the Xbox One event started. So I just tuned into WWDC. So the first thing is launch games. They announced launch games at this event. So
for
launch
both
games,
the Xbox One and the PlayStation.
Yeah, we'll go into the PlayStation One event after, or the PlayStation One, the PlayStation Four. We'll go into the PlayStation. We'll go into the PlayStation 4 event after this. But I just want to, you know, just kind of talk about the Xbox One event first. Yep. So launch games, Battlefield 4.
Yeah.
Really excited about that game. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. Quantum Break.
Mm-hmm.
Dead Rising 3.
Another, like, now there's so many games that are just, like, about zombies and things like that.
Yeah, Dead Rising,
Standalone
yeah.
and everything.
Right, right, yeah. Project Spark. Minecraft. Minecraft Xbox One Edition. Watch Dogs, Forza 5. Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag. Call of Duty Ghosts. Kinect Sports. Crimson Dragon. The Witcher 3. Sorry. I'm nearly breaking out into a laugh because we were having a joke earlier on. Arise, Son of Rome, Halo 5, Titanfall, and Killer Instinct. So, there you go.
So there's a load of launch games.
That's the thing with the Wii U came out last year around Christmas, and there was very, very few launch games.
Yeah.
And this is the thing with the next-gen consoles, you know.
So many games.
Yeah, but the Xbox One, there's a load of games to choose from.
So. Well, I guess you can't exactly put Battlefield 4 or Call of Duty Ghosts on a Wii U. You
know? Yeah, no, you couldn't really put those games. Now, I think there will be some kind of watered-down versions of them.
Yeah.
But, yes. Okay, so another thing that was kind of, I suppose, talked about at the event and has been something that is gotten a lot of negative feedback is restrictions on used games. So Microsoft announced at this event that they will be putting restrictions on used games, which the restrictions are basically like you have to if you buy a disc, you put it into your Xbox, it registers the game with that particular Xbox. So you can't go to someone else's house and let's say they have an Xbox, you can't use that same disc in their Xbox. It won't work unless you pay a fee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not the full game, it's not the full price of the game, but they didn't say anything about the actual fee, but there will be a fee associated.
We never know.
With that.
It might be just like maybe €2, €1 or €2, but at the same time.
But still, I mean, what's the point?
More.
I mean,
I know.
Yeah, you know.
I guess, like, if you think about it, like, the Xbox is so much more expensive than the PlayStation. Now, again, you do get a lot of stuff with the Xbox. You know, you get the Kinect and things as well. But, you know, the PlayStation doesn't have this. You know, they don't have restrictions. So
yeah, we'll get back into that. Yeah. But, so they're going to be putting restrictions on these used games.
So
this,
that should be
this is going to re- I think this is going to really affect used games market. And
I'd say if they go through it with it in the end, it might really affect the Xbox One sales as well. You know.
Yeah.
Like really
well,
bad.
I mean, I don't know.
Because
I don't know. I don't know.
Because
I really don't
you know,
know.
There, people would be saying, it's more expensive. It's you know this and that."
Yeah. Well,
small things.
I mean,
know.
you're giving away all this information. I'm going down through the list, and you're like, "Yeah, well, let's just go to the right to the bottom of the list, and then work from the top." Just kidding. But I don't know. So they're putting restrictions on the games, and another big thing is that people have been complaining about is there's a 24-hour online verification. So your console has to be plugged in every 24 hours because they will do a check to verify the games and verify the console and stuff like that. Even if you're playing a game that is an offline game only.
Wow.
Like Skyrim or something. This is an offline game only. you still have to be plugged into the internet because every 24 hours they will try to verify the game. So that's another thing. And they were saying, you know, in the US, the military and all that, they might have games consoles, they might be out at sea, they don't have internet access.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing. So that's another thing with the Xbox One that they announced there. Another thing that they announced is the Xbox One Day One Edition. So this is going to be a premium, kind of a limited edition. So if you pre-order for day one of Xbox One, if you pre-order now, basically, you'll get the Xbox One Day One Edition. You get premium black packaging. It's pretty amazing. Yeah. You get a limited edition wireless controller.
It's good.
You get a special achievement to say that you bought the day one Xbox One. And there's no extra cost. So all you have to do is pre-order it now. There's no extra cost associated with this limited edition version. It's just an incentive to go and pre-order.
Mm-hmm.
So
seems good.
Yeah.
Then again, they might bring down the price after the pre-order. But
see, I'm a big Xbox fan.
Yeah,
but I'm still a PC gamer. But I'm a big Xbox fan.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't see the incentive in this because, you know, you get a limited edition wireless controller. It's nice. I mean, if you're huge into the Xbox, if you're an Xbox gamer, you see, I'm not an Xbox gamer. If you're an Xbox gamer and you're going to buy the console anyway, I think this is nice.
But again, you do get, like, special bonus content.
Oh, that's the other thing. Yeah, you get some special bonus content for some launch games like Forza 5, a few of the launch games.
You might get, like, a few cars or good cars in that.
Yeah, you get some expansion packs or something. You know, you get some kind of bonus content along with that, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another thing at the event was Xbox Live Gold.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. So some changes to Xbox Live Gold. Of course, Xbox Live Gold has been around for a long time, and it's like a premium service. You pay a subscription. It's like 50 euro a year or something like for something. Xbox Live Gold, and you get like complete online access, so you get to play games online. For Xbox online, you have to pay for this Xbox Live Gold to be able to play games online, to be able to do most of the stuff online, basically. It's 50 euro a year, and you know, I didn't really have much of a problem paying for it because the Xbox online, you know, Xbox Live service is just really, really good. The servers never go down. It's really, really good, I think.
And now they're even expanding those servers, you know?
Yeah. It's 300,000 servers now.
Yeah.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, with the new Xbox Live, a few months ago, I think it was now, it was a little while ago, they decided that they were going to discontinue the family account. So you could have a family account where you could have multiple Xbox Live accounts. Whereas what they're doing now is that they're adding, you still pay the normal Xbox Live Gold fee.
But
anybody in the family, I don't know how many people that is because they didn't say, they just said that anybody in the family can have an Xbox Live Gold, their own Xbox Live Gold account at no extra cost.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say that's probably 4 or 5 people.
I find this interesting how they're doing this, and yet they're charging for, if you use it on a different the game on a different Xbox, you know, because...
Yeah.
Well, I guess it is a nice feature how anyone in the family can use it because...
Yeah, but they are upping the price of Xbox Live Gold.
Oh, are they?
They are. I think they are upping the price now. If you're already on Xbox Live Gold, the price will stay the same. It's only for new users.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So we will continue to have the same price as before. There will be no Xbox points anymore, which is really nice because if you don't know, Xbox, the Xbox kind of store where you can buy games and premium content and basically anything. You can rent movies and everything.
Yeah.
They had this kind of point system. It was like their own currency. And you bought their currency for so much of your money, local currency. So like, for example, like 12 euro might be 1,000 points or something.
Yeah, but the downside to that is if you wanted to buy a movie, which
that
cost...
That was 999 points.
No, yeah.
And you had to buy 1,000 points.
You had to buy 1,000 points.
Or let's say it was 900 points. You had to buy 1,000 points. You had 100 points left over after it.
Mm. Or if you had, for example, 500 points, and then there was 1,000 points, and the thing was like 600 points.
And that was the point. That was the point. Yeah. That's what they were trying to do. They're trying to catch you out. They will no longer do that. They will no longer do that. It'll be local currency only. So in our case, euro.
Yeah.
It's what you'll be trading in, which is really, really great. And I'm really thrilled about that. Background updating, they've also introduced that. So all your games and updates will, update in the background. It's pretty funny with those Xbox updates. You get this update and you're like, do you want to update now? And I'm like, no, I'm in the middle of a game. And if you press cancel, it takes you out of the game, won't allow you to play the game.
Yeah.
So you have to update. It's really funny. So that kind of updating will be done in the background from now on, which is really, really cool too. Mm-hmm. Games and content will be stored and saved online. That's nice. So you can access it from online. So they kind of have this now with a few games like Battlefield 3, how they save your progress and all that kind of stuff online in the cloud. They will save that, of course, on the Xbox Live servers, the 300,000 of them now, which is incredible. To think that they have 300,000 servers.
Yeah.
But all of your content will be stored and saved online. That's cool. Another nice feature is Twitch.tv streaming for gamers. You don't have to buy a capture card and have a computer beside you to stream to Twitch.tv. This is really, really good, I think. Mm-hmm. The PlayStation 4 has Ustream, I believe. Yeah. So I would actually prefer Twitch.tv rather than Ustream, because with Ustream you have ads and kind of stuff like that in the free version of Ustream. Yeah. So, Twitch.tv is kind of dedicated to gaming as well, whereas Ustream is anything. Mm-hmm. Xbox have got Twitch.tv streaming as well as game recording. Mm-hmm. So you can record all your gameplay. And you can also edit the videos from the console. You get editing features. You get like slow-mos, basic cuts. You get some nice stuff,
I think this is great because gamers have been, and YouTubers or anyone who makes video content from games, they've been asking like the companies who make the games, Activision and things like, companies like that, that make... Yeah. Call of Duty or DICE that make Battlefield, they've been asking them to create these like game recorders so they don't have to go out buy a capture card, as you said.
Yeah, and have a computer next to the Xbox.
Yeah. And I think this is great, the way that Xbox is bringing this in, where they actually have it on the console itself.
Yeah.
So that the game developers don't have to go along and do it. Just come along and do it in their game, because that might take up extra time. Now, there is in Call of Duty, and I think they might be bringing in...
like an actual game recording.
Yeah. Hmm. So, but then in other games like Forza, there isn't.
Yeah,
That would save a lot of time for other developers.
Yeah. That along with streaming is really cool. So, they've also introduced new smart glass improvements. If you don't know what smart glass is, it's like an app that you can get for your iPhone, Android phone, Windows phone. You and tablets as well. You can control your Xbox from this smart glass applications. It's like it's a remote control using your mobile device.
Yeah,
and that's really nice. So they're going to be bringing in kind of smart glass improvements. This is really good. I think that using your mobile device to interact with the Xbox is really good, because the controller can be quite awkward at navigating, typing in stuff, and using the smart glass app is really nice. No, personally, I've actually never used the Smart Glass app. I want to say that I will admit that I've never used the Smart Glass app, but I have installed it on my phone. But I just never really got the chance to...
I guess it's the hassle of like signing in.
Yeah, you have to sign into your Xbox Live account, and I don't know what the password is. I can't remember. I'm sure I know what it is, but it's just like, I can't remember the password.
It's like, sure, I can just use the Xbox. So it
is. Yeah. but it's a really nice app. Mm-hmm. Really nice app. Really nice design, too. I've seen screenshots of it. Now for the price. This is a debatable topic. The price will be €499. That's €500 or $499, $500 or £429 sterling.
Yeah.
With, and this comes with a Kinect. There will be no non-Kinect version. And it will be available in November. So the November part, not so surprising. The price, $500 or €500, that's pretty surprising. So what's your opinion on it, Kevin?
Well, even if you don't want to use the Kinect, you still have to have it plugged in to use the actual Xbox. So,
yeah.
For example, you could put it behind your TV and things, but anyway. I think it's really nice that they include the Kinect. But also, you know, then again, people mightn't want the Kinect. But
that's what Microsoft wanted to do. The reason why they're not doing a non-Kinect version is because the Kinect is essential for navigating the whole operating system, navigating everything. That's what Microsoft wanted to do. They want to be able to use the Kinect for navigation purposes.
Now, it is cool, and I'd say it might be a little bit easier than just using
remote. Definitely. I mean, voice commands for typing in instead of typing in stuff with the controller, you know. There's so much stuff that it would improve on, but
at the same time, I think that they should include, like, a mode where you don't have to use Kinect.
Because the hardcore Xbox gamers they won't use Kinect. I mean, it's a really, really cool device, but most hardcore gamers will never use it. They never want to use it.
Like, for example, you might be there. This would be a great way of implementing it.
Yeah.
For example, you get your Xbox. If you don't plug in a Kinect, it prompts you which way would you like, if you don't have the Kinect plugged in, then it doesn't use the Kinect and has a different mode. But when you plug into the Kinect, then it has the Kinect mode where you can use all the great features such as voice commands and all that stuff. So I think that would be a better sort of approach to it. But at the same time, it is actually pretty cool, all the things that you have with the Kinect itself.
Yeah.
And like the new Kinect, it's amazing. Like there was a demo at E3, and it showed the Kinect in action. And there was people like out in front of it, and it could map the whole sort of area into a 3D environment. And it was really cool.
Yeah, the new Kinect is amazing.
Yeah,
they've made some really nice improvements.
Like, I guess that they don't want people to kind of be missing out on things, but at the same time, I don't know. It's a tough decision, but.
Yeah, so the debate now is going on, is this too expensive?
Yeah.
Is it too expensive?
A lot of people wouldn't be able to afford that, that's the thing.
Yeah, but I'll just say this, the PlayStation 4 event, at the PlayStation 4 event, they came out with the price, which was €399. So it's $399. So it's $100 less. $100 cheaper than the Xbox One. So people were saying, okay, the PlayStation 4 is $100 cheaper. But if you can't afford the PlayStation or the Xbox One, which is $500, then you probably shouldn't buy the PlayStation 4 because obviously you are very short on money.
Yeah.
this is what people have been saying. But the reason why this might put me off is because I don't know if the Xbox One is worth $100 more than the PlayStation 4.
Just for a Kinect, you know.
Now, the thing with the PlayStation 4 is the PlayStation 4 doesn't come with any kind of accessories or anything. But you can buy the PlayStation Move, which is basically the Kinect, for like $70. So basically, if you buy the PlayStation 4 with the PlayStation Move, it's $30 cheaper than the Xbox One.
Right.
So, but you don't have to. You're not forced to get the PlayStation Move.
Hmm.
And that's basically why it's $400. So, but I don't know if it's if the Xbox One is worth that $100 more. Yeah. It's not the it's not for me. It wouldn't be the money as much. It would be like I'm a PC gamer, so I'm not. I'm going to say right now, I am not going to buy a next generation console. And the reason why is simply because I'm a PC gamer. I'm not. Yeah. I'm not a console gamer.
Mm-hmm.
But the price point is, I mean, I could build myself a very decent gaming PC for 400 euro. That would be able to do web browsing, computing, mm-hmm. as well as gaming.
And voice commands.
And voice commands, right? It'd yeah. be able to do everything. It's not the TV experience, but I'd still be able to do more than what a console is capable of,
mm-hmm.
for the most part. I mean, obviously, it wouldn't be the same kind of experience in terms of media.
Yeah.
In terms of consuming Netflix and stuff like that. But you can still do it.
And you have to go through the hassle of making your own computer.
And you can't sit down on the sofa.
And then you're sort of like, oh, I made this, so if anything goes wrong, you're like, oh, God.
Yeah, there is that whole thing. But for me, that would make more sense because I'm a PC gamer. But for console gamers, you know, they want the controller and all that kind of stuff. It is 500, I think 500 euro for a little box, you know, plays games, you know, it's quite
no, it does much more than play games. It also has Netflix and movies.
And that's another thing with the Xbox One. A lot of people have been complaining that, or a lot of the hardcore gamers were saying, Microsoft are screwing us because they're adding in all these features that TV features that we don't want.
Yeah.
So
it's sort of like the one device that you want in your sitting room. And I saw a great review of the Xbox One. It's like, well, it's the one device in my sitting room, but if I want TV, then I have to plug in my adapter, and then I have to plug in my TV thing, and then this other thing, and another device.
Yeah.
So there's like five devices. But there's a few flaws with it, but as long as you have the right things.
Yeah.
Because I think, well, you know, if you have cable, then you can just plug straight in.
Yeah. No, but so. But I completely understand where Microsoft is coming from, where they're adding in all these features, because Microsoft, I think, the gaming community, the hardcore gaming community, is a very small community.
Mm-hmm.
And so Microsoft are trying to reach out to the broader community to get more people to buy the Xbox. And that's why they're adding in all of these media features. Mm-hmm. So even if you're not a hardcore gamer, but you're into casual gaming, you think you play a few games, it would make sense for you to buy. They want you to think that it makes sense for you to buy the Xbox One, because not only could you play games, but you could also watch Netflix, watch TV, all this kind of stuff within the console.
And you don't have to get all this other stuff. You can just get the Xbox One.
Right.
But again, they should, like, the way they started with gamers. That's the way they started. You know, it was just mainly games, and now they're bringing in all these extra features.
Yeah.
So I think what they should do is bring, like, the bare minimum, sorry.
No problem.
Of an Xbox. So instead of having all these other features, you can just play games or something.
Yeah.
For, like...
Well, they won't do that, but
it would be cool if they did.
Yeah, it would be. You know? But I think that hardcore gamers are just going to go, like, hardcore Xbox fans are just going to go and buy the Xbox anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's a really amazing device anyway. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, PlayStation 4. We're going to have to, it's 29 minutes in. So, launch games for the PlayStation 4, Kevin. Kind of like launch games that we got here.
Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Nice.
Battlefield 4.
Nice.
Again.
Yeah.
Call of Duty Ghosts. DC Universe Online. Drive Club. FIFA 14. Just Dance 2014. Killzone. Knack. Lego. New Lego game coming out. Lego Super Heroes. Madden NFL 25. Sorry. NBA 2K14, NBA Live 14, Planetside 2.
Ooh.
And I can't wait for that.
Planetside 2 for the PlayStation 4.
Yeah. Skylanders, Warframe, and Watch Dogs. So
nice.
What I actually noticed is a lot, like a few of these games, like Skylanders, PlanetSide, DC Universe Online. No, some of those games that are coming out.
Yeah.
They weren't in E3, you know?
Right.
And then whereas the Xbox games were all, every single one of them was in the E3. So that should be interesting.
I'm really interested in PlanetSide 2.
Yeah.
Coming out for console. Like, the reason why PlanetSide 2, by the way, is a huge PC game. It's a really, really popular kind of hugely, was it a... What do they call it?
MMO.
MMO no, it's first-person shooter. Massively multiplayer FPS. Online first-person shooter. Yeah.
MMO FPS. It's not an MMO RPG because it's not a role-playing game. But
right, yeah. And it's huge. Like, the servers are huge. There's thousands and thousands of people playing on one server.
Well, there's a couple of servers mixed
running
in,
it, yeah, but on one kind of world,
yeah,
basically. And it's really good fun. It's really futuristic and stuff. The reason why they didn't bring it out on the consoles... only on the PC first was because the because, you know, obviously thousands and thousands of people playing, the consoles wouldn't be able to support that kind of graphics.
Yeah.
But now it's next gen consoles and they'd be able to obviously support that kind of graphics. And also, you know, it was a pretty buggy game when it first came out. It's much improved now.
Like all the certs, it's a huge, there's so much stuff.
Yeah, there's so much associated.
You can literally play for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, and you still, you know, you wouldn't complete the game, you know, because they're constantly adding things as well, which is great.
With the PlayStation 4, you will be able to freely trade your used games, loan them to friends, no extra cost. And, you know, at the event, Sony really just kind of dug it in there at Microsoft, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Microsoft, how they're restricting the games. No, we're not doing that.
You can do whatever
you want. Yeah, exactly.
Anything.
Yeah. So that is pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
They're still going to buy games online.
Yeah.
They're just going to buy games online, you know. Most people don't go into a shop
and just buy
a game anymore. They do it online because they don't have to go drive to some place to a shop or, you know, travel. They can do it from in their house.
And it takes like an hour to download. Well, in our case, it's 9 hours.
It's a long time. Yeah, that's the biggest problem right now. Is the I think the biggest problem right now is download times.
Yeah. Now, for people in the US and people in the UK,
with faster internet speeds,
with like fiber and
it's not a big deal.
But for us in Ireland, in a field, you know, we have really small speeds.
Yeah.
And it takes like 9-10 hours sometimes, depending on the game size, to download it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So the PlayStation 4 will cost €399. $399. We talked about this already.
Mm-hmm.
Great price. And will be available around Christmas time. That's what they said.
Yeah.
Whereas Microsoft gave us the exact date.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And they also they revealed the look of the console.
They did.
Because unlike Microsoft revealed it, and then PlayStation only revealed it at E3.
Right.
So, and they look pretty similar, you know? It's the same sort of design.
Yeah.
Like, there
there
isn't much difference, but they are still, like, they're big consoles, you know? So.
Yeah. So, yeah. Do you want to talk about Battlefield 4 for a bit?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's talk about Battlefield 4. So, you've been looking at some videos of Battlefield 4 and stuff like that from different Battlefield enthusiasts. What's coming to the new game? Because we're huge Battlefield fans.
Yeah.
we play Battlefield 3 all the time. So, what's coming to Battlefield 4?
Well, I guess I'll just give a rundown of what Battlefield is.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, sure.
Battlefield 3 was the last one, and that was going to Battlefield 4.
Brilliant game, by the way.
But
Much better than his rivals.
Well, in our case.
In our opinion. In our yes. opinion.
But it's much like Call of Duty, except for that it brings more of a realistic look to sort of first-person shooters and war sort of type games.
Yeah.
Now, there's... Ever since, like, 2 games ago, they brought in, you know, destruction and things so you can, like, blow up buildings and all this. Mm-hmm. But unlike Call of Duty, it has, like, weapons and... vehicles. Like, tanks, there's jeeps, there's boats, there's helicopters, there's AC-130s, there's everything. Right. And the difference with the AC-130s in Battlefield is that it's not a kill streak, but you can actually get in it. You
know? Yeah.
So, Battlefield is basically Call of Duty, but on a much larger scale, because the maps are much bigger.
Yeah.
And it also brings a more realistic, like, with the sound and things like that. So that's what Battlefield essentially is.
Right. Can I stop you there for a second?
Yeah.
I apologize if you're listening with earbuds, because you can probably hear rain.
Yeah.
Yeah, through the microphones when we speak. There's actually, it's lashing pretty hard, and we have the windows open a little bit, so, because it's really hot in here. And
It's raining.
Yeah, even though it's raining, it's really warm in here, because we're in kind of upstairs area.
Yeah.
So, I want to apologize if you can hear the rain, but anyway, continue, Kevin.
So, Battlefield 4 is the new game and the new sort of line of the Battlefield franchise. So,
yeah.
And it has been released at E3.
As kind of an alpha stage.
Yeah.
They were just kind of showing off one kind of multiplayer kind of mission.
So this is the first time we've seen the multiplayer at E3.
It's the first time we've seen any kind of proper gameplay. Yeah.
Before, we saw a mission in single player.
A campaign, but this is the first time we've ever seen anything to do with multiplayer, and people have been allowed to play multiplayer, which is really amazing.
So, there's a couple of game mechanics in Battlefield, such as suppression. So if you fire near an enemy, then they kind of get suppressed, and there's more bullet deviation and things like that. So before, everyone would go medic or assault because it had healing and all that. But now what they've done is they've limited the classes to, like, the assault has, it doesn't have as strong weapons as maybe support and things. So there's 4 classes.
So they've balanced out a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, so they've balanced a lot of the stuff out, like, now the suppression, because people thought, you know, it was sort of a noob kind of game mechanic. So they've kind of nerfed that a bit.
And that's kind of like a blurry type thing.
Yeah. And they've improved all these game mechanics significantly, you know? So, that's great. And they've also brought in complete new animations and, you know, the scope, they can flick over and zoom in a bit more and everything.
I mean, the graphics is really nice.
The graphics has improved a lot.
Destruction and all that.
Yeah, and in the in the multiplayer map they were showing, there's a skyscraper in the middle. And at the top of the skyscraper, there's a flag that you have to capture. And when you take out the supports at the bottom of the skyscraper, it actually falls.
That's amazing.
And completely regenerates the map and brings all this, like, soot down on it and everything. Yeah.
It's amazing. So, I mean, the graphics, the multiplayer experience, I think, is, like, much more kind of interactive.
Yeah.
It's much more like a campaign mission, if you know what I mean. There's a lot more kind of parts of the environment interacting and stuff like that. I think it's really amazing. I think it's really nice.
And then in Battlefield 2, which is brought out a long time ago.
Yeah.
They had this thing called Commander Mode. And in Commander Mode, what you could do is you could basically just control your whole team.
Yeah, and you could, like, put down airstrikes, ammo drops.
Yeah, everything.
And you give orders and all that kind of stuff, which is really cool. And they kind of got rid of it after Battlefield 2.
Yeah. So they decided to bring it back in.
Yeah.
And now the way it works is one person from each team, so there's two commanders because there's two teams. One person from each team is a commander. And then that commander can use, like, a tablet or something. It's really cool. While they're playing, to kind of bring in airstrikes, to bring in Tomahawk missiles, and all these things. So has been a bit of controversy over it because people are saying that it's putting too much power in one person's hands and
very true because there could be players who would just completely mess up the thing.
Yeah. And you know, all that stuff. So people there's a lot of controversy, but at the same time it's bringing a whole new level to the game.
Yeah.
Because phone going off, but
sorry. That's a tease. All right, keep going.
It has like all these new things, and you can completely just decimate the other team if you are a really good commander. So, it was really cool. They had like all these screens and things, and you could go up and you could play one of the commanders, you know, at E3.
Yep.
And on the floor, you could play the game, and it's really good now. They've really polished it off.
Yeah, it looks really polished. Like Battlefield 3, when it first came out, was really, really buggy. Mm-hmm. And they fixed a lot of those bugs, but it's still a really buggy game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've gotten rid of a lot of those bugs in Battlefield 4.
Mm-hmm. And it's only in the pre-alpha.
Yeah.
So they haven't been brought into beta, and it looks like almost finished game. Now there is a few things. Like they haven't brought in some of the camos, and they haven't brought in some of the like things for commander mode. They haven't brought in a lot of the stuff because it's not finished yet.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it looks like a really good game. Like, I can't wait to get my hands on it.
Yeah.
So that should be interesting.
Very, very interesting. I'm really, really excited about Battlefield 4.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely going to buy it.
I think I might pre-order it.
Yeah. So to wrap up our summary of E3, we can talk about the big E3 games.
Can I list them out?
You sure can.
So we have Assassin's Creed 4, new Assassin's Creed.
Black Flag.
I'll just read them out.
Well, we can kind of give some comments on it.
Arma 3.
Going back to Assassin's Creed.
Okay, Assassin's Creed.
I have never tried Assassin's Creed. Have you ever tried Assassin's Creed?
Yeah. I didn't really get a hang of the controls, but it's so cool.
Is it? Yeah. The graphics is amazing. Yeah. I've seen the trailers and it looks amazing, but I haven't really gotten into them.
Mm-hmm.
I actually want to try it out.
Yeah, same.
But I want to start from the beginning, you know, start from the first game and build myself up. It'll take a while.
Well, I don't think there's much of a story from the start. Like, basically,
it's kind of changed over time, but I still kind of wanted to go through all the games. Yep.
But
Arma 3.
Arma 3.
Big game.
Coming.
That's A or M A. I thought it was A or M O U R.
No, but it's Arma 3, the predecessor to
Arma 3.
Arma 2.
Yep, obviously.
And I'd say a lot of people know about the DayZ mod, which will be coming along in a moment, but that was originally on Arma 2.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
So Arma 3 is coming along, and nice. I've actually seen some of the gameplay, and it looks like the graphics is really improved.
Compared to Arma 2.
Really improved, and there's some really cool game mechanics and all that.
That's cool.
Battlefield 4.
Of course.
Yay.
Barbie Dreamhouse Dream Party. Someone was having fun in the show notes there. Yeah,
Barbie Dreamhouse Party.
That is a joke, by the way.
And Bravely Default Flying Fairy.
Two
of the most anticipated games
of the year.
Of E3 and of the year.
They are hardcore flower power FPSs.
Then we have Company of Heroes.
Nice.
And the DayZ standalone. Now,
yeah,
it was a mod before.
I played the DayZ mod. It's really fun, but the controls are really kind of confusing.
Yeah.
But it's really, really, really fun. And that was when it was on Arma 2. So I suppose with the standalone, they'll kind of change around a lot of the stuff.
I've seen some of that gameplay as well, and it is looking really cool. Like, in each building, you can scavenge around, and you can look for, like, cans of beans. At the moment, they don't have anything else. There's cans of beans everywhere.
Does the graphics look improved from the actual mod that was based on Arma 2?
It looks... It's not like Battlefield 4 graphics now.
Right, of course.
But it is, the graphics is much improved, and because it's a standalone, they can do anything. Like, they've completely remade the animations for characters and zombies moving around, everything. So right. They've put a lot of work into it, because it's only like a few guys doing this standalone. It's such a big game. But it looks really good. Like, the graphics, it looks amazing. You know, and you know how they had that sort of inventory menu?
Yeah.
And it was kind of confusing, you know that?
Yeah.
Well, they've completely redesigned that as well, because that was the Arma 2 one. And they brought in a new one, and it looks really cool. So, can't wait for that.
Great. What else we got?
We got Dead Rising 3, another zombie game.
Nice. lots of zombie games.
Yeah. Deus Ex, Diablo 3, Elder Scrolls Online, which I can't wait for. Because I did get...
That sounds interesting.
I got Skyrim, which was one of the Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I didn't like about it was that it was single player.
Yeah, me and you couldn't play together.
Yeah. I just thought it would be so good if they brought in multiplayer.
Yeah, like World of Warcraft, I think.
Yeah. So now, because, you know, World of Warcraft is completely different with spells and things. Well, there is in this, but the controls for Skyrim is really cool.
And the graphics.
And the graphics.
It's a completely different game.
Yeah.
To World of Warcraft.
They're bringing out a new Elder Scrolls, and it's going to be online, which is going to be really cool. Next, Farming Simulator 2013.
Very important for all the Irish farmers.
In fact, it was one of the top-selling games in Europe, I think. Not 2013, but like in 2011. It was 2011, 2012, one of the top-selling games. No joke.
Well, I mean, a lot of the people from the city want to be farmers, though.
Yeah.
Farming Simulator. Hardcore game, that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. FIFA 14.
You know what? On that server over there that I'm going to be making into a server. Yeah. I found FIFA 2001 on that. Now, that computer isn't from 2001, but I found FIFA 2001 on it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's...
I remember that game.
It's a long time ago, yeah. It's a really great game. I mean, the graphics hasn't changed. Yeah, no. I mean, it's little stick worse. Men walking around. No, FIFA 14, yeah, lots of nice stuff there. And playing some footy.
You can make all your own characters and all this. The graphics is really good. Like, the animation for the players is really, really cool.
Yeah, compared to FIFA 2001, where they didn't have knees. They were just walking around with no knees.
No joke.
They're like penguins. Actually, penguins do have knees.
Then there's a few Final Fantasies coming out. There's like a couple of, you know...
like 50 of them.
Yeah.
How many is there now? Like 100 Final Fantasies.
Something like that.
What is it? XV, what's that? That's 15.
Yeah, 15. Yeah. That's pretty much 100.
pretty much, yeah.
Forza 5, one of Michael's favorite games.
Well, Forza 4 is one of my favorite Forza games, because I love driving games. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of driving games.
Forza
driving
5
Sims.
And Gran Turismo 6, those two games.
Oh, yeah, so Gran Turismo 6 is the PlayStation version. I was a huge fan of Gran Turismo 6, Gran Turismo, but I never had a PlayStation, so I couldn't play it.
You bought the game, but we didn't have it.
No, that wasn't it. That was a different game. But Anyway, well, but with Gran Turismo, yeah, I've played it loads of times, but we didn't have a PlayStation. But I found out that Forza Motorsport was on the Xbox, and I was like, yes, because I love driving Sims so much.
So,
but Gran Turismo is amazing, by the way. As Forza.
Halo 5.
Ooh.
Still to be named, I think.
Still to be named.
But Halo 5, you know. What can you say? It's Halo, you know. Everyone knows Halo.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I like Halo.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good.
So next, moving on.
Not my favorite game in the world, but it's a good game. There's no doubt about it.
Killer Instinct, Mirror's Edge 2.
Oh, yes.
Now, if you don't know what Mirror's Edge is, it's like a parkour sort of game based in the future. Kind of.
It was a PlayStation exclusive when it first came out.
Yeah.
And then it went on to mobile.
PC and everything.
Right.
Mobile. So I found out about it from mobile on my iPad. Yeah. And then...
Such a fun game.
Then I didn't buy it on PC yet, but apparently it's supposed to be really, really addictive, yeah. So I'm going to get it. Well, I'm going to get Mirror's Edge 2 when it comes out, but that's going to be class. Minecraft Xbox One Edition. Sweet. Everyone knows what Minecraft is. I don't have to say anything.
Any PlayStation edition of Minecraft coming?
Don't think so. I don't know. The Xbox One Edition was especially for, or that was in E3, but
like, I mean, they already have the Xbox a lot edition. Of money to make to develop a game for Xbox or PlayStation, you know. Yeah. And you kind of with kind of an indie company like them, like Mojang, you either do one or the other, really, because it's a lot of money to invest, and you really need to see a return, you know. So they might do PlayStation later on, but I think it would be too risky for them, you know. Develop Xbox first.
I think it's another company that's helping them with it as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's interesting. Yeah, Metal Gear Solid, another classic, new one coming out. as well as Wolfenstein.
Oh, sweet.
Best game ever.
I have Wolfenstein.
Yeah. It's been 20 years.
I've never, ever, ever played that game. No. But I have it. It hasn't been 20 years, has it?
Something like that.
Genie Mac.
Something, yeah. 90s.
Wow. But that was the original Wolfenstein. But there was one after that, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was a few, I think after that. But the original one. Original was like 20 years.
Gee. Wow.
It's crazy. Yeah. But then what's next? Project Spark, Saints Row 4. Basically, GTA.
Gran Turismo.
Yeah, basically the same thing. Yeah. Splinter Cell Blacklist, one of Michael's favorite games. The Last of Us, another zombie game.
Yeah, and you know, it's actually been getting really, really good reviews.
Apparently,
but sure, all zombie games do.
Yeah, true. But I think there's a horror aspect to it as well, so anyone that loves
those
games...
Yeah, it's like a horror zombie game. But, yeah. I mean, what zombie game isn't a horror game?
I know, yeah. But there's extra horror, like blood and guts going all over the place.
extra horror.
The Witcher, sorry. I always said it. The Witcher 3 coming
out. Oh, I'm going to be busy editing now.
Titanfall, Total War, great game, great series.
Total War Rome 2.
Coming out.
Is that Rome Total War or Total War Rome?
Total War Rome.
Okay. Just checking.
I think. Yeah. Anyway.
Watch Dogs. Don't know what that is.
I think that's like a sort of a Japanese... It's based in... Oh, no. No, that's a different game, I think.
Okay.
But apparently that's supposed to be a really good game. That's highly anticipated. Okay. Then we have We Fit You and my favorite... Zumba Fitness World.
I saw the ad for that. That's so cool. These are highly anticipated games.
That one is the one that I'm going to get.
You know, We Fit You, I think you need to really start working out, Kevin.
Yeah. I left out a few. There's so many. There's like new Mario Kart coming out. There's new... All these new Mario games.
So hang on.
You put in
We Fit You and wouldn't put in the new Mario Kart.
But there's so many of them. So, as well, just to add into that list, as well, like, along with Zumba Fitness World Party, there's all...
Great game,
all
by the way.
New Nintendo games.
If you're into Zumba, I mean, this is the game for you.
There's a new Donkey Kong World, or what's it called?
Yeah, oh, come on.
Coming out. No, it's actually
Does Donkey Kong dance in Zumba?
No.
Ah, gee.
But there's loads of different Mario games coming out, so I'd recommend to go out, buy a Wii U, and check those games out as well.
Nice.
So that was all the games. Big games. There's a load of other ones, but all the big games.
We got through.
I might be missing out a few.
53 minutes, 54 minutes in. By the way, if you have been fed up of WWDC... Like, hearing all week about WWDC, you can turn off the podcast now, because for the next about half an hour to 45 minutes, it's going to be all WWDC. And I want to thank you very much for watching or listening, if you are going to tune out now. But we're going to talk about WWDC anyway for those of you who haven't, who've been living in a hole for the last week. Just kidding.
Mac OS has all these new features. MacBook Airs have a load of features.
We just have
MacBook Pro has a load of features.
Hang on. Slow down.
Whoa, that is the episode.
Whoa. You just spoiled the entire thing. Kevin is getting into a habit of doing that. Okay.
I'll just have to say spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Okay, let's start off from the beginning. Mac OS X Mavericks.
Yes.
So,
interesting.
They came out on stage and Apple admitted that they ran out of names of cats. So they decided that they were going to call it Sea Lion. And then they said, just kidding. And then they decided to call it Mavericks. Now, it's actually named after a surfing spot in California.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be calling the next lot of Mac OS X versions after place names in California.
That's great.
Which is where, of course, Apple's headquarters is.
Mm-hmm.
Cupertino, California.
I would love if they made Cupertino as one. That would be class.
Yeah. But that would, no. Mac OS X Cupertino.
Sounds so cool.
Doesn't really work.
It does.
It should be Mac OS X Microsoft. Although, that isn't a Californian place name. So what kind of...
soon to be, though, after Microsoft take over the world.
That would really confuse people. So what kind of new features did they add in Mavericks, Kevin?
They've brought in iBooks. Which nice. They've just brought in iBooks, basically.
You know, everybody talks about the Kindle, but they never really talk about iBooks.
Yeah. So,
But the interface with iBooks on like mobile devices and now on the Mac is absolutely amazing. It's so easy to download books, so easy to read, and the experience is really, really good.
And the thing about iBooks is a load of people use it. You know, it's like...
Really?
Yeah.
I thought most people just use Kindle and they don't really... You know, it's kind of one of those kind of forgotten apps of iOS, I thought.
It's not... There's actually a load of people who use iBooks, I think.
Okay. But the interface is really amazing. Yeah.
It is a great app. So all the books you've downloaded on all your mobile devices, they can just be downloaded onto your Mac or whatever you have if you download macOS Mavericks.
Right.
Right, so.
What else you got there?
Apple Maps.
What were you whispering there, Kevin?
Apple Maps.
That's coming to macOS X.
That's coming to macOS.
As an application, not as a web app, right?
So now it has all its turn-by-turn directions.
So if you're really fed up of Google Maps for whatever reason, you can now use Apple Maps on the Mac as a standalone application.
Yeah, and cool. It also has flyby and 3D environments.
Like of course, stations. all the features that the mobile version of Apple Maps has.
Yes.
Including the artifacting and weird names.
Now
places.
They have redesigned the calendar. They have redesigned Safari, also known as looking at animals. Then they have also redesigned notifications, Finder, which is really cool. They have tabs now instead of opening a new window every time.
That's nice.
So that's really nice.
Yeah, there's actually been an application that did that for years.
Yeah.
That converted Finder over to tabs and all that. Well, they're gone bust now.
Of course.
But that's nice.
And then for Finder as well, there's tags, which are kind of like folders. It's basically the same idea as a folder. You tag something as like important or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you can look up all your important files and then you can see them. So that's basically what tags is. Then, if you want to explain the next bit.
Yeah, I'm going to explain this because you may know... I put this in the wrong place, but basically,
anyway.
They have... You may know Keychain Access on the Mac. It's basically where... It's one unified application where all of your passwords... If you click Remember Me on any web browser or remember any passwords on the web browser or in any application, it saves all of those passwords to your Keychain Access. It's just a single application with every single Remember password you have in your computer.
Mm-hmm.
Now what they've done is they have added iCloud support to this. So it will sync all of your Remember passwords across all your devices.
Like your iPhone or iPad.
Right. Now, this is going to be coming in iOS 7 as well. It won't be supported in iOS 6, But by the time macOS X Mavericks is out, iOS 7 will be out as well. And iOS 7 does have support for remembering passwords, adding it to it will have its own keychain access. And you can basically sync all of your passwords across all devices.
Yep.
Also included is a password generator. So you may know applications such as LastPass or 1Password. They basically do everything that Keychain Access iCloud now does. However, LastPass and 1Password are cross-platform. So if you live in a Mac, if you live in a Mac kind of atmosphere with every device that you have as a Mac, then this is great to go with. But I use Windows computers, I use Linux computers, I use Macs. So for me, I think one of the other third-party solutions is for me. But if you have a Mac laptop, Mac desktop, Mac iPhone, or Mac iPhone, Apple, that'd be pretty
Apple
cool. Apple iPhone, you know, any kind of Apple devices, then I think Keychain Access iCloud is really cool. Mm-hmm. Native support for in Mavericks as well as the new versions of iOS and mm-hmm. yeah.
And then there's also multiple displays.
Yeah, so let me explain this. Basically, currently in Mountain Lion, the support for... There is, of course, support for multiple displays.
Yeah.
You can have 3-4 displays plugged in at the same time. However, when you go full screen on an application on one display, what happens is it goes into full screen on that one display, but you can't go full screen on the other display. When it goes full screen on that one display, it kind of affects it. The other display goes really weird.
Yeah.
So that's a bit annoying. Now, I don't really use full screen apps. I never really use full screen apps. So that's because the computers I'm working on have, for example, my laptop, 15-inch display. So it's really, really big. I also have external monitors that are 25 inches. So I never really use full screen apps. But if you're on a smaller display, full screen apps would be a big thing. So what they've done now is they've added support so that you can go go full screen on, let's say you had 3 displays plugged in. You can have full screen apps individually on all 3 of those displays, as well as manual controls for whatever it's called. Launch control, mission control. As well.
To Major Tom.
Yes, Mission Control. Yes, to Major Tom. So for Mission Control, you can you have individual control for every one of your monitors as well.
Yeah.
Or displays, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. There have also been updates to OS X Server. So if you run a kind of a Mac atmosphere, like if you have a company that does video editing, for example, you have servers, media servers with macOS X Server running on them, you're going to be really excited because there's some really nice new features coming to OS X Server. I don't think many people... I mean, not many people use OS X Server. It's mostly video editing firms and, you know, they have to have big media servers and they just use Macs. So it's nice that... Apple are continuing support for OS X Server.
That's cool.
Yeah, just saying.
Okay.
Okay, new MacBook Airs. I will talk about this one.
No, I want to talk
about it. You talked about Mavericks.
What, can I talk about this?
Okay, fine.
Can
I talk about the new processors? Because that's the real techie stuff.
Sure.
Okay, so new MacBook Airs were released, or announced. They're actually available now, by the way, if you want to buy one.
What?
Yeah, they're available now. Kevin has the older generation MacBook Air, right? The previous gen.
I do.
He's an 11-inch i5 with 128 gig SSD, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they released... What they basically put in here is new Haswell processors, the new Intel Core processors, just released literally weeks ago. And they're really fast.
Yeah.
They're fast. They're really fast. They're faster, much faster than, they're a bit faster than the Ivy Bridge processors, but the Ivy Bridge processors are really fast as well.
Mm-hmm.
However, the biggest thing with these new Haswell processors is power efficiency.
Yeah.
So you can now get in the new MacBook Airs, you can get an i5. Core i5 1.3 gigahertz processor, which doesn't sound like much, but it will boost clock to 2.6 gigahertz, which is really nice. Or you can get an i7 Core i7 1.7 gigahertz with a boost clock of 3.3 gigahertz, which is pretty good.
So, especially in a MacBook Air.
Especially in a MacBook Air. It's pretty good. Now, they're dual core still.
Yeah.
But the power efficiency on these are specifically specially designed processors for Ultrabooks. Mm-hmm. The battery life that you can get out of these is absolutely amazing, and I'll hand it off to you now. By the way, the graphics is the new Intel integrated 5000 graphics, which is supposed to be amazing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So, a big problem, because I have a MacBook Air, and the biggest problem with my MacBook Air,
I have a MacBook Pro, by the way.
Battery life. The battery life on this is not very good.
It's 5 hours, right?
It's about five. Sometimes you get 4 hours.
Yeah, it's a little bit less, and especially because as your computer gets older, the battery degrades a little bit more, and the battery life kind of goes down as you continue to use it on battery.
So, now with the 13-inch, you get 12-hour battery, and with the 11-inch, you get 9-hour battery.
I just want to say that is incredible battery life.
Yeah.
That is absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm really impressed.
And the biggest reason for this is, of course, the Haswell processors, because they are so...
Yeah, you know, the Haswell processors does have a lot to do with it, but I think has equally to do with software improvements in OS X Mavericks, as well as...
Mm-hmm. And a load of other things. Yeah. So they've pretty much doubled the amount of battery life, maybe a bit more, maybe more than doubled the amount of battery life you get out of your MacBook Airs, which is the biggest feature for me, because I love my MacBook Air, but the only thing, and it's an 11-inch, the only thing is that the battery is just... It's not the best, you know.
Right.
But, okay, what next?
Well, they've also added in 802.11 AC support, Wi-Fi support for the MacBook Airs, as well as faster flash storage, which is very nice. Okay.
That's great. Now the MacBook Airs come standard 128 gig flash.
Yes, and they're like $100 cheaper.
Yeah.
Which is really good.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the Mac Pro. You heard me right. The Mac Pro.
And it's not the old Mac Pro. It's the new MacBook Pro.
Mac Pro.
Sorry, Mac Pro.
Exactly. It's the new Mac Pro. So, the first thing that really impresses me is the design of this new Mac Pro. It looks nowhere... What? As I said at the beginning of the show, Kevin really likes laughing.
Yeah. No, it just looks a bit like a bin.
Well, that's the first thing. It's a really impressive looking bin, okay? Yeah, it's. I mean, it's a really nice looking bin. I mean, they can fit that much stuff inside in that bin. I mean, it's pretty incredible. They're like jamming the bin down, you know, with stuff. So it's got a cylinder design. It looks quite like a trash can.
But it's the same in America,
trash can. The dimensions on this are incredible. 29.146 centimeters in height by 16.764 centimeters in width. So, that's about that height. So,
that is...
It's about, I'd say, about the height of the speaker here.
old speaker that no one can see.
It's about, I'd say it's about, yeah, it's about the, it's actually less than the height of this iPad.
That is absolutely crazy. Wow.
Is the height of this MacBook.
It's a very, very small bin.
Tiny. I mean, you could just put it on your desk. People might put litter in it because they might think it's a little mini bin. But, you know, you might have to keep it.
Fantastic.
By the way, I'm only messy, but, you know, we like to joke around. I don't mean any offense by that. I mean, like, it is so cool. Absolutely incredible. And this design. It's so small.
Like, the way...
People would probably think it's too small to be a bin. It's probably full up.
Yeah. But, like, what...
So.
Well, one of the biggest reasons for like this incredible design is like the fan. How there's one fan at the bottom and just goes up and cools.
I was getting to that. This is like the fifth time you've done it. No, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm gonna strangle you after the show. Okay, yeah. So I don't have to say I'm joking there, do I? New Xeon E5 series processors. I'm not sure if these are newly released Haswell Xeon processors. I believe there is a new Haswell Xeon processor.
But anyway, it's going to be
Flipping fast anyway. Yeah. Up to 12 cores. So that probably means that there's going to be like an 8-core model and a 12-core model.
Yeah. Like the old one.
Yeah. Dual 6-core Xeons or dual quad-core Xeons. Mm-hmm. There could be a single 8-core Xeon as well. That'd be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's only 4 or 6-core Xeon processors. But if you don't know, the Xeon processors are like workstation, like they're server grade processors, which means that they are tested beyond belief. I mean, they're tested. This computer is going to be tested to run all the time, 24/7. You know, mm-hmm. And that's the difference between a computer with these kind of Xeon processors and a workstation or a server compared to your computer that you built yourself with an i7 in it.
Yeah.
It might be able to match it in speed, but those computers are designed specifically to be run 24/7, all day long, dependable. They've got redundant power supplies, although this Mac Pro doesn't because it's a workstation, but the servers do, you know. So every component in this computer is going to be designed as a workstation. You know,
mm-hmm.
So they're not going to take any shortcuts.
Yeah, it's going to be a complete powerhouse.
Yeah,
of a rubbish bin.
Yeah, an absolute powerhouse of a trash can. Okay, yeah.
it's going to be
pretty cool. Yeah, it's
and but if you think about it though, like the size of the old one compared to the new one, and the amount of power that is in the new one. Now, there's a reason they didn't update this until now, you know?
They were working on it. I mean,
they were really putting effort.
But you have to say, now, we were teasing about the trash can, but it is an incredible design. You have to admit, it looks
it's
amazing.
Very innovative.
Very, very innovative. It just looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of funny in the keynote when what's his name? Ben Stiller? No.
Yeah.
One of the Apple guys. He says, "Apple isn't innovative, my ass." That was pretty funny. that was really funny. But it will also have 1866 megahertz DDR3 memory. That's pretty fast memory. Yeah. In most Macs now, you can go up to 1333 megahertz. This will go up to 1866 megahertz, mm-hmm. which is really nice. So that means that Apple are going to be supporting that memory in their software as well. It will have dual AMD Fire Pro workstation class GPUs. 6 gigabytes of RAM in total. That's 3 gigabytes of RAM per GPU. That's pretty amazing.
Pretty good.
Now, you can't replace these. This is one big thing with the Mac Pro.
Yeah.
You can't replace these, but who the hell would want to replace them? They're pretty amazing.
Yeah.
GPUs.
Just like the processors. Who would want to replace the
processors? Yeah, who would want to replace 2 6-core Xeon processors? Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
PCI Express flash storage. Now, if you don't know
brilliant.
What... Yeah, so your normal flash storage is over SATA.
Yeah.
So it connects to your motherboard through SATA. It's just like USB. It's kind of just a connection. These flash storage, these SSDs are going to be PCI Express SSDs. PCI Express is like a really, really, really high speed kind of a slot on the motherboard. You can get speeds of 1.25 gigabytes per second. Not gigabits, gigabytes per second. Super fast SSD, super fast flash storage. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
I just want to put emphasis on that. super everything, okay? Just absolutely incredible. 1.25 gigabytes per second. Really, 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 really times a million.
Super.
Fast.
Yeah.
Unified thermal core, as Kevin said already. Basically, the way that this works is it's like a triangle inside the trash can.
Mm-hmm.
And
of course.
It's like Swiss chocolate.
A Toblerone.
Toblerone. It's like a Toblerone in the trash can.
A very big one.
Yeah. And well, actually, all of the boards are like screwed onto this.
Yeah.
So your processor board.
Graphics board. Motherboard. Everything.
Yeah. Everything is going to be screwed onto this
Toblerone. Well, it is the motherboard.
And basically the way it works is it cools that kind of unified triangle Toblerone. Is what cools all of the parts inside, and it has one fan on the top of the trash can that incinerates all the rubbish.
And then,
sorry. Okay, we gotta stop this now. We gotta really stop this. But yeah, so, and it's a really, I mean, super innovative, and it's a really, really good design. You know, the way that they got the size of the trash can down.
And then on the side of it, it's
I really set. Gotta stop this.
It has a warning. This is not a trash can, you know. Just
this
in case.
This is not a trash can,
just in case you try to put something in
oh
it.
Oh my god. Oh my god. We are gonna get screwed for this. Okay. Another really cool thing about this new Mac Pro is the fact that it will have 6 Thunderbolt ports. Not Thunderbolt 1, but Thunderbolt. Thunderbolt 2. I'm really excited now. 6 Thunderbolt 2 ports. Thunderbolt 2 is a new Intel technology. If you don't know, Intel actually designed and created Thunderbolt, the original Thunderbolt. The original Thunderbolt was 8 gigabits per second. This is going to be 20 gigabytes per second. And you got 6 of them. You could have arrays of hot swappable hard drives. You could have external PCI Express slots. You could put external graphics cards and plug them in through Thunderbolt.
And people were saying that the new Mac Pro is not expandable.
You've got 6 Thunderbolt 2 ports. That is crazy. A lot of expansion. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Because you can really easily expand. There's companies, third-party companies, that sell these kind of things. You can plug, you know, external hard drives in through them. And this is the Thunderbolt 1, which is 8 gigabits per second. So could you imagine what you could do with 20 gigabits per second? You know, and you can plug in capture cards and all this through Thunderbolt, and it's amazing. So what you'd be able to do with the new Thunderbolt is amazing. People are saying, though, by the time that you're, you know, this is a really nice little device you can fit on your desk. By the time you're finished with all the expansion, it'll be much bigger. But it's still 100 times smaller. Well, not 100 times. It's still way smaller than the original Mac Pro Tower. But again, I don't think that the people who would be buying this kind of system would be too interested in the size of it.
Yeah, true.
They wouldn't really care about the size, but it's still really cool and an engineering masterpiece, in my opinion. HDMI 1.4 will be built in. It will support 4K. So you can edit in 4K. It'll support 3 4K displays. Absolutely amazing. They're obviously future-proofing this device or this Mac Pro to really just be a kick-ass machine for years to come.
Yeah, so they won't have to update it again.
Yeah. But HDMI 1.4, there's going to be a new version of HDMI, like 2.0 or something, to support 4K at higher frames per second now. Because right now, the frame rates are 30. You're stuck at 30 frames per second at 4K resolution on HDMI 1.4. But you will still be able to use DisplayPort, which supports 60 frames per second 4K. Yeah. So. USB 3, of course, will be integrated in there. USB 3 is really nice, I think. I mean, for most people, they wouldn't really need USB 3, but USB 3 is 6 gigabits per second, so it's nice and fast. Plenty of bandwidth. Gigabit Ethernet, of course. No, they've kept the Gigabit Ethernet. I was kind of a little bit worried about that they would just go Wi-Fi. Because Apple are taking... They're taking the Ethernet ports out of the computers, so that you have to take up a Thunderbolt slot.
Yeah.
In order to get gigabit Ethernet,
your MacBook Air doesn't have Ethernet. And then you only have 5 Thunderbolt 2 ports.
Yeah, be only such a disaster. Five. My MacBook Pro is the only computer now that still has gigabit Ethernet.
Yeah.
That's why I love my MacBook Pro. Because you can change out the RAM. I put 16 gigabytes of RAM in this thing. It's got an i7. This isn't the USB 3 model, though. It's only the USB 2 model. So you don't get a lot of the nice, super fast bandwidth of USB 3. But hey, what can you do? This will also have Wi-Fi. I think it'll have 2 gigabit Ethernet ports cards in it. And it will also support 802.11ac, which is the super fast new gigabit Wi-Fi. Incredible. So, and as we predicted last week, it will be made in the US.
Thank God.
Well, for all of you Americans out there, it's great. And it will be coming later on this year.
Can't wait. Do you know what the price...
I'm going to buy...
Do you know what the price is?
10 of them. Just kidding. I'm not going to buy any of them because I can't afford it. But, I mean... The price.
It's
gonna be between $4,000 and $7,000, anyway.
Right. Okay, let's skip to the next episode.
Yeah, let's not dwell on that. iOS 7. So I just want to say, I have iOS 7 on
my
iPhone 5.
God,
it's on 1% battery. Now, just in case you're wondering how I got iOS 7, Apple have released iOS 7 to developers, their developer beta edition of iOS 7 for devices. Now, and I am a developer. I will just say that I'm not too sure exactly what I can say. I can basically say everything that was given away in the keynote.
Yeah.
I don't really know anything other than what was said in the keynote and obviously experience with the actual operating system. I've had it for the week. On Tuesday, I had iOS 7 installed on my iPhone 5. And I will give my opinions on it. Now, this is a beta. There are a lot of bugs in it.
And it's completely redesigned.
Right. It's a complete change. There are a lot of bugs in it, including some kind of battery bugs and stuff. But I will put that aside, and I will judge it as a beta, and I will not judge it as a final product, because I know the final product will be much different. So, but first I kind of want to go through all of the changes that have been made to iOS 7 before I kind of go into detail about my experience with it. All new design. Completely redesigned. I mean, yeah. I saw this, and at the keynote they kind of showed a video with Johnny Ive in it, and he was, he was explaining exactly what he did to redesign iOS 7.
Yeah.
It is. The design looks amazing, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks incredible. What do you think, Kevin? You like it?
I love it.
I think it just looks amazing.
It's incredible.
It's a much flatter design. It's
very simple.
It's very simple. There's a lot of transparency going on.
And a lot of colors as well. It's very colorful. Like a lot of contrast. You know.
My phone just went to sleep. Or it just turned off because the battery went. But it's really, really nice. They have a lot of redesigned applications, including Notification Center. That's redesigned with a lot of nice improvements to it. They've kind of given it more structure. Multitasking is a really nice kind of
really, really nice
multitasking pane. You can kind of get a full screen kind of a preview inside multitasking. Mm. It's like a cards kind of a layout, cards design. Photos. They've redesigned photos. You can put in kind of, they arrange photos by location, by date.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really stunning application. Camera. They've also put in filters in camera. You know, they put in some really nice things in there in the camera app. Safari is redesigned. you can do a Google search from the bar, URL bar,
mm-hmm.
which you couldn't do, believe it or not, in iOS 6. They still had the little search bar next to the URL bar.
And now you can have as many tabs as you want.
Yes, you can have unlimited tabs, and the way that they've done tabs is really, really nice.
It's like
you can just
spinning wheel.
Almost. Right, and you can just kind of flick to the left to kind of get rid of tabs, and really, really nice. Siri has been updated.
Completely redesigned as well.
Yeah, Siri kind of comes over the interface as kind of like a transparent layer.
Yeah.
Kind of a blurry kind of a layer. Really
kind
nice.
Kind of like notification center. And
yeah, with the transparency. Yeah. There's a lot of transparency going on. Mail has been redesigned too.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of really nice things in Mail. And another thing is you can kind of flick back to go to the previous screen, which is really nice as well. It's kind of a nice gesture. They've added in a lot of gestures in there. Weather has been completely redesigned too. Incredible design on Weather. And Messages have been redesigned as well. What happened there in the show?
I don't.
That's a real mess there. But one thing is they got rid of voice memos. I had like 50 voice memos of recordings of stuff. And I suppose they're still on my computer.
But they're not on my iPhone.
So,
like people, they could have had very important stuff, you know.
Yeah, very important voice memos, you know, and it just disappears in iOS 7. Yeah. But iTunes Radio.
Yeah, it's not iRadio, thank God.
Yeah,
or else they could have got
They called it iTunes Radio. I think this is really cool. It's a free way of just listening to songs. You can create your own playlists of songs. It's completely free. And basically, beside the song, it gives you the option to buy it if you want. It is going to be ad-supported.
Yeah, but you can get rid of
ads. You can get rid of ads if you pay for iTunes Match, which is like €30 a year,
mm-hmm.
which is really, really cheap for no ads. The only thing is, it won't be in Ireland. They're bringing it out in the US
Thank
first.
God. That is brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah,
it
I mean...
be in Ireland.
Yeah, it's great.
You know... They should
nothing.
Have just
nothing
bring
ever.
It out
nothing
just
ever.
In Ireland,
Google. Google
you know?
Music. No. iTunes Music or iTunes Radio.
iTunes Radio.
No. So it's okay. It's okay. We got Spotify.
Yeah, we got Spotify.
We got Groove Shark.
Yeah. Take that, US.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you do as well.
Yeah, they have it now too. Oh. AirDrop has been introduced on iOS as well. AirDrop has been a feature on Mac OS X for quite some time. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Dropbox.
It's exactly the same as Dropbox, except it's on Apple kind of only devices.
Yeah.
Different experience though. It's a kind of a very seamless
design and things.
Yeah, it's a very seamless kind of because it doesn't have to be compatible with all operating systems.
Yeah.
Control Center. This is a nice new feature. If you just swipe up from the bottom, you get like all of these kind of quick, you can put your phone into airplane mode, you can turn on and off Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, do not disturb mode, all this kind of stuff. You can have a flashlight, there's a nice little flashlight button there to turn on the flashlight.
That's actually one of my favorite features because on the iPad, you could control the brightness, but when you go to the iPhone, you couldn't. You had to go into settings.
Yeah, you had to go into, now they have the brightness control in there as well as volume control, play media playback, all of that is in there. And all the flashlight apps are going to be no longer, I suppose, because there's flashlight built into the control center.
I really love Control Center. I think that's one of the biggest things for me.
Yeah, that's really nice. Because and it's got this really nice transparent look as well to it.
Just like Notification Center.
Exactly. And iOS 7 will be coming in autumn.
Can't wait.
I can't wait either, although I've already got iOS 7, but it's a beta, though. It is definitely a beta.
Until the full version comes out, you know.
Yeah. So I've been messing around with iOS 7. I really like it. I really like it. There's some really nice features in there. It is a beta.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't talk about any of the bugs, but I just want to say I really like it. And I'm really, really impressed. So there you go. That pretty much wraps up this episode. That was a marathon of an episode. Once again, an hour and 29 minutes. Going to be an hour and a half episode. Once again, another hour and a half episode, and I'm going to get the outro ready. That was pretty smooth. You can follow me on Twitter. Talks About Tech 1 is the Twitter account for Talks About Tech. You can also follow me. You can add me to your circles on Google Plus. Michael McAndrew is my name there. And send me an email. Michael@talksabouttech.com is my email address for all of your tech questions. Kevin? McAndrew, thank you very much for joining me for this crazy episode of Talks About Tech.
I'd just like to add in a quote about Twitter.
Oh yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah. Well, in real life, or in Twitter, you get excited if someone follows you. In real life, you get scared and run away.
Well said there, Kevin. Well said. Keep that in mind next time someone follows you on Twitter. I'll see you next week.